Chapter 5. The Bayfront Park had picnic tables under trees and a small pier for fishing. There were at least a dozen barbecue pits and a clear area to fly kites. A cool wind was blowing, and the sky was bright blue. Darcy could smell the roasting chicken and hot dogs as she approached the parking lot. She spotted Tara's party by the bunch of colorful balloons tied to a tree. Darcy hurried to add her gift, some art supplies, to those piled on a picnic table. "Happy birthday, girl," Darcy said as she spotted Tara. Both girls hugged briefly, but then Tara turned away. "I'll be right back, Darcy. I gotta watch Coop with the grill, or he'll burn all the food. Lord knows that boy can't cook." Darcy chuckled as Tara went over to the grill. Hakeem was standing nearby holding his guitar. Just seeing it made Darcy anxious. "I'm so nervous about the talent show," she said as he walked over to her. "I get butterflies just thinking about it."
"You'll be fine, Darcy," Hakeem replied. He seemed to be in a good mood.
"Man, I'm starving," Cooper complained. "These hot dogs are taking forever."
"They'll be done in a minute, Coop," Tara said. "You don't want to eat them raw, do you?"
"I gotta eat now," Cooper insisted playfully. "I'm a growing boy."
"Where is the mustard?" Sonia asked. "Who was supposed to bring the mustard?"
"Nobody wants hot dogs without mustard,"
Cooper bellowed. Then he quickly said,
"Hey, my man Sharif bought the mustard. Here it is."
"Tara said for me to bring the continents," Sharif said with a broad smile, "and I did."
"Not continents," Keisha explained gently. "Condiments."
"Speaking of continents, I'm hungry enough to eat a whole continent right now," Cooper said.
After Tara opened her gifts, everybody began eating. Cooper wolfed down 3 hot dogs, and he still had appetite left for 2 slices of Tara's chocolate birthday cake. Then some guys started a game of basketball. Some of the girls decided to watch. Others gathered in small groups, listened to music, and talked about school and the latest gossip. Hakeem and Darcy sat under a tree, and he strummed the strings on his guitar. "I sound like a sick cat when I sing that stupid song I've been practicing. That singer on the CD makes it sound so good, but..."
"Sing some old classic," Hakeem suggested.
"I got a great CD we could listen to. There's one song..."
Hakeem stopped talking and looked off in the distance. Darcy turned to see what he was looking at. A teal blue Honda had just pulled into the parking lot. Roiland Bailey's Honda. Hakeem cursed softly, and a vein in his temple jumped beneath his dark skin. "Just ignore him," Darcy pleaded. "Everybody knows he's a loser." The sun was going down, and it would be dark in about an hour. The pale outline of the full moon already hung ominously over the horizon. Everybody would be going home soon. If only Roiland had just stayed away, Darcy thought. Everything was going so well. Roiland came to the edge of the picnic area and stood with his hands on his hips, his gaze roaming until it settled on Hakeem.
"Oh, there's the retard," he called out.
"Hakeem, how you doing, man? You learned to talk right yet? Huh?
Hakeem scrambled to his feet.
"Hakeem, no!" Darcy cried.
With the speed of a big, lean cat, Hakeem lunged at Roiland. Roiland tried to block Hakeem's punches, but one connected with his nose, spraying droplets of blood on his white t-shirt. He seemed unprepared for Hakeem's rage. With a look of wild fear in his face, Roiland fled across the parking lot. Darcy was not exactly sure what happened after that. A champagne-colored Nissan had come into the parking lot without anybody noticing it because all the attention was on the fight. The Nissan screeched to a stop. Darcy heard Cooper scream,
"They got guns!"
For a minute, Darcy did not understand. Had Roiland pulled out a gun? Then, rapid shots crackled in the air like firecrackers. Everyone in the picnic ducked. As Darcy hit the grass to escape the gunfire, she saw guns flashing in the side windows of the Nissan. Next to her, somebody was screaming, and the air was filled with the chaotic sounds of bursting Coca-Cola bottles and splintering picnic tables.
A bullet hit the trunk of a tree a few feet ahead of her, shattering the bark into small pieces. Darcy did not dare raise her head. Mingled with the sounds of screaming and shouting was the wail of a police siren. Help was on the way. The Nissan's tires squealed as it raced from the parking lot. The shots had stopped, and kids were getting up slowly like shadowy figures on a battlefield. The comforting aroma of the barbecue was quickly overwhelmed by the acrid stench of gun smoke. It was as if the party itself had been slain and now was broken and bleeding. Limp balloons lay like corpses on the grass, and one of Tara's birthday gifts, a teddy bear, had been ripped into small pieces by the gunfire. Darcy searched for Hakeem, finally finding him standing in the parking lot, blood on his shirt.
"Hakeem, are you okay?" she gasped.
Hakeem nodded. His eyes were strange and his voice faltered.
"Bailey got shot in the head. He was running from me."
Darcy followed his gaze and saw the crumpled figure in the parking lot, blood pouring from a head wound. It was Roylan. He was motionless, sprawled there, arms flung out, feet and legs hunched under him as if he crouched into a fetal position when he was hit.
"Oh my God," Hakeem said. "He was running from me."
Everybody gathered around silently. Tara, her cousins, the kids from the center, Cooper, Keisha, Sharif, Sonia, and all the others from school. Cooper threw an arm around Hakeem's shoulders.
"Hey man, it wasn't your fault. He should have never been here. I seen Londell James in the Nissan. He's the one that shot Billy. It wasn't your fault."
The paramedics arrived within minutes and began working feverishly over Roylan Bailey, stabilizing him before carrying him into the ambulance.
"Nobody else got shot," Tara said in a numb voice. "Just him."
"Why do you have to be here? Why? Will somebody tell me that?"
Sonia's eyes were wide with disbelief.
"Why did those guys shoot at us?
I let them know I wasn't inviting no troublemakers. And this was Londell James's payback, that's what," Tara said bitterly.
Darcy gave Tara a long, silent hug and then returned to Hakeem's side. He turned and looked at Darcy.
"I got him shot. If I'd kept my cool, he never would have got shot. Nobody else was hit, just him. He was an easy target running around in the parking lot by himself.
It was my fault he was there. I got him shot."
Hakeem shook his head slowly. His glazed eyes did not move or blink. It was as if he was watching something horrible happen in the distance, something he had no power to stop.
"Hakeem," Darcy whispered, "it wasn't your fault."
"His mom, Bailey's mom, she's single, and they got four younger kids. I don't know what she's gonna do. Roylan, he gave her money,"
Hakeem said, shaking his head and staring at the ground. Darcy did not know what to say for a moment. Then she said, "Let's go to the hospital and see if there's anything we can do, Hakeem. Okay? Maybe we can help Mrs. Bailey." Hakeem looked inspired by the suggestion.
"Yeah. Yeah, come on, let's go right now."
When they got to the ER waiting room, Darcy and Hakeem found Mrs. Bailey and her children waiting for word on Roylan's condition. Amberlynn was clinging to her mother's shoulder and crying. Mrs. Bailey held a baby girl in her lap, and two little boys, about 5 or 6, fought over a toy truck on the floor. Darcy sat down beside Mrs. Bailey.
"I'm Darcy Wills, and this is my friend Hakeem Randall. We go to Blueford High with Roylan. We came down to see if there was anything we could do," Darcy said.
Mrs. Bailey looked stunned. Her two little boys were in a tug of war over a small truck, and the baby was crying. Hakeem leaned forward and said softly,
"Mrs. Bailey, how about me taking the boys down to the cafeteria for some ice cream? There's a little play area down there. They can work off some steam."
"Thank you," Mrs. Bailey said, gladly turning the warring little boys over to Hakeem. He took each child by the hand and they danced off with him, lured by the prospect of ice cream and play.
Helping Mrs. Bailey seemed to calm down Hakeem, too. Darcy took the baby from Mrs. Bailey's arms and rocked her gently. "Have you heard anything about Roiland yet?" Darcy asked.
"No," Mrs. Bailey moaned, shaking her head. "I've been sitting here waiting ever since they called me. I was home with the children and they called me. My sister drove me down right away, but then she had to go back to work. They said the nurse would call me over to that window there when I could see my boy."
The baby settled down in Darcy's arms, and Mrs. Bailey dabbed at her red-rimmed eyes.
"I couldn't believe my boy was shot. I just couldn't believe it. Roiland ain't no angel, but he never been mixed up with gangs. Why'd they shoot him? Why'd they go and shoot my boy for nothing?"
Amber Lynn had begun sniffing softly, but now she looked at Darcy with big, soulful eyes.
"Did my brother start the trouble at that party?" she asked.
"No," Darcy said. "Roiland's teasing of Hakeem and their fight had nothing to do with the shooting. Some thugs just drove by and started shooting, Amber Lynn. It was just a stupid drive-by." The nurse appeared at a small window.
"Mrs. Bailey?" she called out.
Mrs. Bailey jumped up.
"Oh, Lord, oh, precious Lord, what if he's dead? What if my boy is dead?"
Her eyes were wild with terror, and she was shaking violently. Darcy put her free arm around the woman's shoulder and said,
"It'll be okay, Mrs. Bailey. I'll pray real hard for you. You go on in and I'll stay here with Amber Lynn and the baby."
Mrs. Bailey hurried towards the door that opened into the emergency ward. Darcy sat down with the baby and Amber Lynn sat very close to them. After a few minutes, Amber Lynn asked in a small voice,
"Is Hakeem your boyfriend?"
"We're good friends," Darcy said as she rocked the baby in her arms.
"Roiland said he was retarded, but he's not, right?" Amber Lynn asked.
"No, he's not. Sometimes when he gets nervous, Hakeem stutters, but he's fine," Darcy said.
"I bet all this happened because of Roiland being so mean to somebody. He's awful mean, stomping on my stuffed animals and smashing my little brother's toys. He yells at Mom and stuff, too. He calls her bad names sometimes."
"Darcy, you think that's why he got shot? Because he's mean?" Amber Lynn asked.
"No, it didn't happen because of Roiland being mean, Amber Lynn. Some guys drove up and just shot at people at the party. I don't know why stuff like that happens. It's just awful," Darcy said.
Amber Lynn played nervously with a shell bracelet on her wrist.
"I know one thing. When I get old enough to have a real boyfriend, he won't be somebody like Roiland. Not me. I want a boyfriend who's nice. Like Hakeem."
Darcy smiled at her. It seemed as if they waited forever in the crowded room. Darcy looked at the other people, an elderly man with a woman in a wheelchair, a gray-haired woman leading a man with a walker, young mothers with coughing babies, asthmatic kids wheezing. There were relatives of accident victims, the parents of a teenager brought in comatose after a drug overdose. The parents looked so young themselves, and both were weeping. Finally, Hakeem returned to the waiting room with the boys. They were calmer and sat down quietly beside him. Hakeem turned anxiously to Darcy.
"Did Mrs. Bailey go in?"
"Yeah, about 15 minutes ago," Darcy answered. "I don't know if, you know, she can see him or if they want to talk to her. I mean..."
Darcy didn't want to say the words. Was Roiland dead? Were the doctors telling Mrs. Bailey as kindly as they could that in spite of all their efforts, her son was dead and there were things she had to do, the stuff that has to be done when someone dies?
"I heard over the radio in the cafeteria that the police caught Lyndell James and the other guys in the car," Hakeem said.
He shook his head.
"All the shots went wild, but the one that got Bailey, why couldn't I just have ignored him? Why?"
"Hakeem, stop it. It wasn't your fault," Darcy said. "Roiland is a..." Darcy noticed Amber Lynn staring at her and changed the subject.
"I'm glad the police got the guys who shot at us. I hope they put them in jail forever."
Suddenly, Amber Lynn said, "One time, last year, Roiland ran away. He was gone a whole week. I was glad. Mama cried, but I was hoping he didn't come back because it was so peaceful in our house. When Daddy lived with us, it was real bad. And then when Mama kicked Daddy out, Roiland took over messing us up.
I'm so sorry, Amberlynn, Darcy said, putting an arm around Amberlynn's shoulders.
Know what? Amberlynn continued. Daddy used to whoop Roiland up one side of his head and down the other. When Roiland didn't put out the garbage, Daddy whooped him for being lazy. When Roiland did put out the garbage, Dad whooped him for doing it wrong. Daddy was always yelling and beating his fist on the table and cussing out everybody. I guess that's what made Roiland so mean. But I don't care. I just kind of hate him because I'm scared of him.
No, Amberlynn, you don't hate him, Hakeem said. Roiland's your blood, and that's thicker than anything.
Amberlynn's eyes widened again.
You think if he dies it'll be my fault because I hate him?
No, no, Darcy said. It's got nothing to do with you, Amberlynn.
Darcy thought about her own father. He was never like Roiland's dad. Carl Wills ran out on his family, true, but the years he was there were good ones.
Suddenly, she felt the need to hear her father's voice.
I need to make a phone call, Darcy said, gently placing the sleeping baby into Amberlynn's arms.
Darcy fumbled in her purse until she found the number her father had given her. She had used it just one time before, that bitter cold night when Jamie was lost in the mountains. Her father had come and found Jamie beside the giant cedar tree and probably saved her life. Now, Darcy dialed the number again. It rang four times before he answered.
Hi, this is Darcy, she said, her voice a little shaky.
She could not believe she was so nervous talking to her own father.
Is something wrong? He asked quickly.
No, I just wanted to tell you we could, you know, get together like you've been wanting. I mean, if you still want to, just for hamburgers or something. I'd like to talk to you, Darcy said.
Oh, that'd be great. Will Wednesday around 6 be okay for you? If not, we could set another time if you want.
Wednesday would be good, Darcy said. At 6.
Oh, great. That's just great. So, see you then.
Yeah, Darcy said.
Bye, sweetheart, Darcy's father said. Darcy took a deep breath.
Bye, Dad.
She put the phone down quickly and returned to the waiting room. Mrs. Bailey was coming from the emergency ward and heading for her children, tears running down her face.